Now we have a reading from John chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" Jesus sentenced to death. After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks.
Good morning. Well, this morning I need to begin with a confession, and that confession is that in preparation for this week's message, I asked a helper, the Amazon Alexa, for some advice, and it's a little black ball that we keep in our kitchen, and I asked Alexa, "Hey, Alexa." Oh, nobody's phone went off. Dang. "Hey, Alexa, what is truth?" And she responded in a polite, slightly smug, computerized voice. Smug. She's smug, right? She said, "The truth is the property of being in accord with fact or reality." That's not a bad answer, right? And then I asked her a follow-up question. I said, "Alexa, do you always tell the truth, or are you always truthful?" And she responded, "That is a difficult question." We live in a period and an age where Siri and Google and Alexa and various artificial intelligence bots, right, are brimming with answers. And in our scripture for this morning, as Stacy read for us, it's brimming with truth. From John chapter 18, Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" And he wasn't looking for a dictionary definition. Instead, he was doing what most of us do today by shrugging off the question. And he was dodging that question like a politician that is in an election year. It's one of those, "I'm not answering those, but thanks for asking" moments, right? Think about it. If Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, lived in our time, he might just ask Google, "Hey, what is truth?" And Google might say, "Truth is what corresponds to reality." And then, by the way, here are 17 articles and 3 YouTube videos and a 15% off coupon for you to purchase a truth-inspired mug. And so today we continue in our sermon series, What the Tech, and we're exploring how faith intersects with our lives as believers and as Christians, and how that can often, technology, can often be controlling of us. Controlling by our devices and our apps and the algorithms that are out there, but how can we use them to bear Christ and witness to Christ to the world? Amen? So as we begin, will you pray with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift everything up to you this morning. Our worship, our time of reading scripture, our time of praying to you, and we lift it all up to you because our purpose here today is to bring you honor and bring you glory and to be sent out into your world to proclaim and to be witnesses of Christ's love, Christ's truth, Christ's grace, and how that is at work each and every day in our lives. And so God, we pray for the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Because, O Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. And all of God's people said, I got to tell you a story. It's 100% true. It's a little bit of comedy because it's Pastor Jeff. And it's a little bit of a cautionary tale. And here's the thing. During the COVID pandemic, there were two things that were out of stock everywhere. Does anybody remember? I know it was 5 years ago. Toilet paper. And what's the second thing? What? Lysol. Were you at the first service? I'm just kidding. Ah, she knew the answer. No. But it was toilet paper and Lysol cleaning products or Lysol wipes. And they were sacred supplies during COVID. They were being hoarded, right? They were being traded on shady online forums and even resold like black market currency. It was the Wild West, but with Lysol and Charmin or Cottonelle. And my grandmother, God bless her, has always been a coupon warrior. And I know that I've shared before about her borderline hoarding tendencies. Grandma, if you're watching, I love you. She tends to buy tons and tons of household products and cleaning supplies that she uses on a daily basis. But then she also buys those non-perishable food items and household cleaning products, even though she doesn't use them, all because she has a what? Yeah, coupon. Yeah. All because she has a coupon. During COVID, her stash began to dwindle a little bit. And so she went to the grocery store, and she was always on the hunt for toilet paper and Lysol cleaning wipes. But she found an ad pop up in her Facebook news feed that was 96 rolls of Charmin 3-ply and 20 canisters of Lysol wipes. True or not true? No, it wasn't true, but she clicked on it anyways. You want to know what the price was? $15. Definitely not true, right? So she clicked on it and she placed an order. And not just for one set, but 6 sets. She was not thinking just about herself and, like I told you, borderline hoarding tendencies, but she was thinking about her daughters, 4 daughters and her favorite grandson, numero uno right here, me. So she bought 6 sets, or tried to buy 6 sets. And she checked out, thankfully using PayPal. And weeks had passed, and multiple times she passed up that opportunity to purchase toilet paper and Lysol cleaning wipes at the store because she was under the impression that she was going to receive this massive stockpile one day. And then more weeks went by, and she called her favorite grandson. And I told her, listen, you've been duped. You've been scammed. And she filed a claim with PayPal, and they sent her a message that said something of the similar. This company is fake. You've been duped. You've been scammed. And so she was refunded her money, thankfully, in using PayPal within a couple of hours. And there's nothing like trying to exploit a sweet grandmother who's trying to provide 3-ply toilet paper comfort during a pandemic to her family. What a blessing my grandma is. Amen? Amen. Amen. The truth is, this happens all the time, doesn't it? We're living in the most informed and disinformed and misinformed time in human history. We carry around devices in our pockets or on a sash all of the time that give us all of the access to all of the world's knowledge and yet also all of the world's nonsense as well. One moment you're watching a cat play piano, or as Pastor Emily said last week, a goat in pajamas, right? Which is very cute. And then in the next moment you're watching another video about how the earth is flat and moon landing was fake and Elvis is still alive and he's living in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he works out of a food truck that makes tacos. You get sucked down a rabbit hole pretty fast. And we need to talk about truth in 2025 because we've got things that are called deep fakes. Do you know what a deep fake is? Some of you. Okay, well, I'll tell you, right? These are deceptive videos that overlay a different voice recording on a video that's already there and allowing people to look like they're saying things when they never really did. And we've got AI bots, artificial intelligence bots, that write news articles and even can fake a sermon. Don't worry, I wrote this all by myself. Thanks be to God. We've even got echo chambers that reinforce our views and stroke our outrage because we are swimming in data in 2025. We are drowning in opinions and we are starving for wisdom. 2,000 years ago in the time of Jesus, which was our scripture passage for this morning, if you haven't already, I want to invite you to open up your Bibles, John chapter 18. You could scan that QR code in the pew back in front of you, but get your Bibles open. It's the last gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. John chapter 18. And we'll begin in verse 33. And we're presented with this back and forth conversation between Jesus and Pilate. And Pilate is the governor of Judea, the prefect, also the governor. And it's of modern day Syria. And Jesus is being brought to Pilate because the Jewish leaders of that day had accused him of being a criminal. And they bring him not at some specific point throughout the day, but in the morning, trying to catch Pilate off guard. And the Jewish leaders had already tried Jesus for blasphemy, but in order to execute him or put him to death, they couldn't do that. They needed the religious, they needed Pilate or the Roman approval, because they could only extend their authority and their power, not to capital crimes, but to religious offenses. And so in this trial record from John chapter 18, Pilate is trying to understand, wait, why is Jesus in front of me? Why did your people, the Jewish people, want you to be executed? And so Pilate's first question, are you the king of the Jews? This idea for Pilate is laughable, right? Jesus doesn't have an army, he doesn't have a crowd, he doesn't have a throne. It's just a quiet, worn man standing in front of him. And the seemingly obvious answer to Pilate's question is no, because there is no king of the Jews. Rome was in power, Caesar was in charge, right? The Jews were not a political group, but they were an ethnic group that was living in the Roman province. And as Jesus so often does, he flips the question on the person who is asking, is that your own thought, or did others talk to you about me? Jesus doesn't give a yes or a no answer. And then he asks a question. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. Where did you get that information? Pilate doesn't understand, right? The living, breathing truth is right in front of him, and he doesn't understand that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. And Pilate thinks to himself, not of this world? What world are you from? Sci-fi hadn't even been created yet. And so he asks again, are you a king? So you are a king. Jesus responds with the truth. Not with a true statement that is subject to evaluation, but with the truth. And here's where Jesus drops the mic, right? I came into this world to testify to the what? Truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. This is my purpose. This is why I am here. This is why I was born. And Jesus continues to talk about truth again and again. And in this short section of John chapter 18, he talks about it. He mentions truth three times. And already up to this point, he's mentioned the word truth 26 times in John's gospel. So if Jesus is talking about truth so much, why does Pilate have trouble with it? Why do the crowds have trouble with it? Why do you and I sometimes have trouble with the truth and seeing it? Finally, Pilate ends and replies in verse 38 with his infamous eye roll of a question. He says, what is truth? Pilate doesn't really want an answer, right? He wants an exit strategy. He's not interested in the truth, but he's interested in avoiding a riot. And in other words, Pilate's perception had become his reality. Because when Pilate looked at Jesus, he just saw another troublemaker, right? Not a king, not a savior, just a man that he needed to deal with so he could get on with his lunch. But the real, living, breathing truth is standing right in front of him. But all he could see was power and politics and personal comfort. He was blinded by all of that. Today we do the same thing. Truth is no longer sacred, but it is strategic. Because if you repeat a lie loud enough, long enough, and if you slap a hashtag on it, which is the pound sign for those of you who don't know, right? The pound sign. It becomes someone's truth. If you repeat it loud enough and you repeat it enough times, it becomes someone else's truth. Your perception can often become your reality. And here's the problem. We don't live in reality. We live in our perception of reality. And when our perception is filled and fueled by outrage and filters and likes and comments and conspiracy theories, we miss the truth with a capital T that is standing right in front of us. We often want to define our own truth. Live your truth, people say, right? But we filter it through how many likes we get, and we scroll through those headlines, never stopping long enough to discern what is real and what is just viral. Jesus doesn't want us to just see the truth. He wants us to live it, because he is the truth. Amen? As United Methodists, as Methodists in general, we follow the understanding of what's called the quadrilateral, which quad means how many? Four. Good job. Four. Quadrilateral. And it's scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. You can write that down. You can look it up. Quadrilateral. We understand that truth in this world It helps us to test what is true by looking through the lens of the quadrilateral. And Scripture is always first because it is our primary source, our primary authority, because it is the Word of God. Amen? And tradition, the next one, it gives us this wisdom of those who have gone on before us. Not just saints, like in the Catholic sense, but saints, you and me, we are passing down stuff to the next generation. And so we can gain some wisdom from those who have gone on before us. And reason helps us to think critically because we all have a brain. Amen? Use it. Seriously. Amen? I need to use my brain as much as you need to use your brain. God gave you a brain so you can use it. And then the last one, experience. It teaches us how faith lives in the real world. And so when someone tells you that, oh, I saw it on Facebook, like my grandma, or when someone tells you, oh, I saw it on YouTube, so it must be true, we don't just say amen, we pause and we hold it up to Scripture and we think through it and we talk about it in community and we ask, does this align with Scripture? Does it align with the Spirit of God? Does it align with the good news of Christ? Because as followers of Christ, we're not called simply to spot lies. We're called to be a witness of truth in our world. And that means less scrolling and more seeking, less arguing and more listening, more discernment and less drama. It means that we don't just consume the news, we live the good news. Amen? We need to be a committed, honest, justice-seeking people because guess what? If truth dies, trust dies. And if trust dies, communities collapse. And we are called to be truth bearers in a truth-starved world. So what does this look like? I want you to write this down. First, we need to stop being digital citizens and become digital disciples. Jesus said in John 18:37 that everyone on the side of truth listens to me. That means turning down the noise, all of those things on the outside that are clamoring for our attention and tuning into the voice of the Good Shepherd. Don't be a digital citizen, but be a digital disciple. Second is this. You have to test the spirits. I'm not talking about some New Age stuff, right? 1 John chapter 4 tells us that we are not to believe every spirit, but to test them to see if they are from God. Because many false spirits and false prophets have gone into the world. And so when you see that article online, right? When you write that fire-breathing post, you need to ask, is this true? Am I being kind? Am I being helpful? Is this Christ-like? Would Jesus post this on his feed? And the third thing is this. We need to be practicing sanctified skepticism. Not cynicism. Cynicism. But sanctified skepticism. Because there's a difference, right? Skepticism says, oh, let me think through this. Let me check its sources. But cynicism says, everything is fake and nothing matters. Jesus doesn't call us to despair, but he calls us to discern. Because if we don't, we will end up like one of my clergy colleagues who uploaded their sermon on YouTube. And a week later, they got a message from one of their parishioners. And it said, hey, Pastor, I loved your sermon, especially that part where you quoted Cardi B. He doesn't even know who Cardi B is, and honestly, I had to look it up too. But what happened was someone had duped, or someone had voice recorded over his sermon, giving fake content and transposing even a different voice on his video, and then they re-uploaded it. We are at a point where even pastors can get remixed. Truth is under assault, friends. God's truth, though, cannot be hacked. It cannot be deep faked. God and the Holy Spirit is not going to send you spam because God is not about clickbait. God's truth is real and rugged and inconvenient and unfiltered and redemptive truth. The kind of truth that makes disciples become on fire. The kind of truth that makes tyrants nervous and sinners new. Pilate asked, what is truth? And the truth was standing right in front of him and he didn't recognize it. Today we don't face things like Pilate, but we face things like TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and Reddit and even ChatGPT. And yet that same truth is still standing right in front of us, Jesus Christ. Amen? If we spend as much time on social media as we did if we spend as much time in Scripture as we do on social media, we would all be theologians. Amen? The Word of God should always be our truth filter. In Hebrews 4, it tells us that God's Word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword that is penetrating to the deepest parts of our being, that is revealing our true thoughts and intentions. Everyone who listens to truth and everyone who believes in me shall follow me. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. We don't believe in truth privately, but we do it publicly. Because if not, we would all be living in echo chambers, right? We would say something, and on the contrary, truth is something subjective, something that we are not called to live out. Because we are called to be witnesses to the world for Christ in this age, no matter what. In the world, not of the world. We are called to live out our faith each and every day. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't hold others accountable, because we do. We need to speak truth to power and offer instruction and correction in love. It doesn't mean that we need to be a people who are so focused on confusion and disaccountability, but we need to be a people who are focused on hope rather than hysteria. Because technology is awesome, right? Everybody's got a phone, whether it's a dumb phone, not the person, but the phone. Whether it's a smartphone or a dumb phone, it doesn't matter. And we can use technology for so many things, but we need to be careful. Because if not, technology can magnify our human condition. You know, a few years ago, there was a study that was put out by MIT, and it understood and came up with this answer that said, fake news spreads 6 times faster than true news. Crazy, right? Why? Because honestly, truth is boring. Falsehoods and misinformation, ooh, it's spicy. They confirm our biases and they entertain us and they go viral pretty fast. And when we share those things, we're not solving problems, we're spreading it. Proverbs 14:15 tells us that the naive believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. So don't be naive, but be prudent. Let us be a people who seek truth always and speak truth always. Because the truth, as we know it, will set us free. And that truth is Jesus Christ. Amen? So are you listening to the truth? Not to your feed, not to the latest viral outrage, but to the quiet, constant, eternal voice of the one who said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And I came to testify to the truth. Jesus doesn't ask you to scroll, but he asks you to follow. He doesn't want you to like the truth. He wants you to live it. Truth is not a subjective spin or digital trauma. Truth is a king that is on trial, who loves us enough to die for us and powerful enough to rise again so that we could all receive those promises and live in freedom and grace and truth and love. And so today, may we be brave enough to seek the truth, bold enough to speak the truth, humble enough to admit when we're wrong, and loving enough to correct falsehoods with grace. We can use our lives and our devices to spread the good news of Jesus Christ rather than gossip and misinformation, or we can use them to glorify God always and seek first the kingdom that is at hand. Amen.